With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Now, from the Star Rentals Sports Desk, your 93.3 KJRFM Sports Headlines.
Sports Headlines at 5 o'clock, brought to you by VenueKings.com. M's back to 500 for the first time since early May after their win last night. George Kirby gets the ball tonight for Seattle. Big news in the NBA, Damian Lillard staying in the Northwest, signing a two-year max contract extension worth $122 million, also includes a player option for the 26-27 season. And Mike Holmgren, our good friend, and Mike Shanahan headline the list of 54 semifinalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame announced yesterday, and we are talking to that man right now.
Hey, don't do that to me! Don't give me that hand! Don't do that to me!
Your home for the 12th man and the NFL presents Mike Holmgren.
They, on sprint option, if they rush that guy that wide, loaded doesn't get it done. Go to something else.
Brought to you by Toyota of Kirkland. Check out their entire vehicle inventory at toyotaofkirkland.com or stop by their showroom. And by Real Steel. If you want power and reliability, you want a Steel. Find yours at steeldealers.com.
This is what I had my little peewee guy, Pop Warner, when I start coaching, they can do it better than you guys. And I paid them in popsicles, not millions of dollars.
And now, Mike Holmgren on Sports Radio 93.3, KJR FM.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't start it that way.
No, you can't. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, because everyone's riding on your shoulders now.
Hugh, you know, we really try not to bother Mike Holmgren in the dead of the summer because he works so hard for us for 6 months out of the year. We try to leave him alone. Leave him alone to his family and his cabin and the lakes and the wineries and all the good things in life that he absolutely deserves. But when you've got a situation like this where you are once again named a semifinalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, you've got to bring him out of hibernation here for a bit. And we thank you for coming on here and during your vacation time, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dick. How are you guys doing? Just, you know, we had to schedule this so it doesn't interfere with happy hour. That's the only thing.
You can do a happy hour. You can do it simultaneously. We don't mind if you have a cocktail in your hand.
No problem at all. Well, Coach, you know, this is just, it's funny. It's a yearly conversation, particularly with me and Softy. And Softy and I have two completely different ways how we handle this. I see this as a fait accompli, that this is just going to happen. You are going to be named to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It is just a matter of the right timing. And Dave, meanwhile, lashes out in anger each and every year that it doesn't happen. So how do you deal with it? And now here we are, yet another year where we know you are going to be on the ballot.
Well, it's interesting. The when it came out yesterday, I hadn't seen anything about it. And then my daughters, you know, they follow this stuff. I get phone calls. They're ringing off the hook. Hey, Dad, you know, da, 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 da. So I said, okay, let's all just take a breath here, you know, because we've been close the last couple of years, I think, and you never know what's going to happen. And I've told you guys many times, and he knows all the stats and everything. I didn't ever get into this business for this, but now that I've been so close and I'm getting a little older than you guys, it's kind of exciting, the thought that I could eventually get in. But we'll take it a step at a time, and I'll try and calm Softy down a little bit.
Well, I'm going to make you blush with the numbers here in a minute because I actually have a spreadsheet that I composed a few months ago, and it's sitting right in front of me. But I just, you know, I'm going to just try and tug a little more out of you and amplify. I mean, we all believe this is going to happen. This is absolutely going to happen. You know, it's just a matter of when, and certainly we're hoping with all of our might and our vigor that it'll happen this year. But what would it mean? Like, if you say, okay, that moment, if you just imagine, I guess there's that big guy that knocks on your door to give you a hug or something. I can't remember his name, but we all see his face in our mind's eye. But what would be the most significant part of that acceptance into that great group? That what would touch you the most? What would think is it your daughters? Is it the players, like the coaches you had? Like what would be thinking? What would be the element you would think about that would most make your eyes get misty?
Well, you know, Hugh, I think you brought up a couple of things. Like I don't think it would be just one thing. I think about my family, you know, and you know better than anybody, and Dick, you've covered sports for a long time, that, you know, the demand on time over the years that's the real thing, and it's just part of it. And so Kathy has put up with a great deal over the years. And so one of the first things, I just think about her and just think about, she was always my biggest fan. And so she might say, finally, this is nice. And, now can you do the dishes? You know, she kind of talked to me about that. So, and then the second thing, you know, my daughters, you know, I didn't have sons. Like you, I had girls, but they were football fanatics and fans and backed me all the way. And so you think about your family. And then I was really lucky, guys. And, you know, I was really fortunate to be a coach under Bill Walsh and George Seifert and Lavelle Edwards in college and my preparation and teaching. The things I would say that I was a pretty good student of football. And I listened, and I took notes, and I wanted to be the best I could be. And then, of course, lastly, all the great players that I had the privilege of coaching. Some of them I made better. Some of them I probably hurt a little bit. But, you know, it was that's what you think about. And it'd be quite an honor. And then the last thing is all the guys that went in before. You know, all the coaches I admired so much. You know, and some of them aren't with us anymore. And then to be part of that group, it would really be something new.
Well, Coach, what's encouraging to me is that over the last few years where we've been talking about this, your name goes higher and higher and higher up on the list. You can just see it because, like, for example, I pulled the CBS News article out last night. It takes the story 7 words to get to your name. I mean, that wasn't the way it was a few years ago. It says, it starts, Super Bowl winning coaches Mike Shanahan and Mike Holmgren are among 54 seniors, coaches, and contributors named as semifinals for the Pro Football Class of 2023. I mean, you are now a headliner. And when we see this in the past, we see those headliners get in either that year or the very next year. And do you feel that momentum?
You know, I'm being hesitant, honestly, because it changes. You know, it's sometimes guys get in and you're going, huh, that surprised me. You know, you know, you're not sure exactly of how it comes down. So, while it's nice, you know, like I said, I'm excited about it, but it's I want to take it kind of slow now. Yeah. I understand it's going to happen at the end of August, so we got some time.
Well, the spreadsheet that I referenced, Dick, I'm going to give you these numbers, and I know Coach is going to be reluctant to comment on it, but here is the objective case for Coach Holmgren, at least as it respects to being a head coach. We haven't talked about the quarterback coach, the coaching tree, and everything. There's a substantial case to be made in that regard. But what I did, just to understand the methodology, what I took all the coaches who were in the Hall of Fame, of which 27, and then I did a hypothetical that Coach Holmgren was in that group so that I could put him in the chart and then see how his numbers ranked. So if you can imagine now Coach Holmgren hypothetically in the Hall of Fame, where does he rank among Hall of Fame? Well, we've got 28 guys because Coach is in it.
Right.
And then we say, okay, so obviously anything, when you hear a ranking number that is 14 or higher, then you know he's in the top half.
Right.
Okay, so let's just go over some of these. Games coached, 8th. Wins, 8th. Games over 500, he's ranked 14th. Years making the playoffs, 4th. Games in the playoffs, third out of 28. Wins in the playoffs, fifth. The average rank in the division, meaning the highest you could ever be would be one, right? Because that means you won the division every, you know, he's at 182. That ranks third out of all these 28 coaches. So we just go on down the conference championships, seventh, Super Bowls, top 10. So there's just this overwhelming, if you just say head coaching and the numbers, the objective case is absolutely there. It's just it amounts to a slam dunk in my mind. Coach, I didn't mean to embarrass you in that regard, but I think that these are numbers that the Hall of Fame committee just, you know, if they just see these and they're aware of these, then this is long overdue.
Well, Hugh, I've told you this before. I appreciate that from you. Sometimes you make me a little confused with your analytics and things, but that was really nice. I appreciate that. I'll tell you what.
Well deserved.
My agent sent me a book he had put together and presented it to the people on the committee. I think that's kind of a thing that happens.
Right.
And I glanced at it, and the thing that was really nice is that you got letters from Favre and Montana and Young and all those guys, Matt. It really, you know, makes my eyes water. It's really nice. Parcells, really nice. No one ever accused him of being real nice. And he just wrote this great letter. He wrote, but it's like that. And so that is in and of itself is special, you know, to say, okay, these guys spent the time to do this. And so I must have done something right, you know?
Yeah, you did more than something. There's no question about it. Mike Holmgren joining us, our good friend and hopefully future Pro Football Hall of Famer. He was named to the semifinalist list once again yesterday. And, you know, I'm glad you put those numbers out, because I want to put them out on social media. I hope a lot of people put them out on social media, because, Coach, the last time we were talking about one of our local favorites going into the Hall of Fame and trying to get into the Hall of Fame, it was Edgar Martinez. And
right.
It was a, you know, in baseball's a little bit different. You had 10 years and then you're out, and the veteran committee's got to vote you in at that point. And Edgar was just kind of, you know, he was in the 30s. You had to get to 70% or something like that, and he was in the 30s, and he barely got up to the 40s. And in the last, I don't know, 18 months or so before the last vote, the Mariners really came through, and their PR department put together a massive social media campaign. And we all believe that pushed it over the top, because Edgar's numbers spiked in his last year, and he was able to get in. I mean, is that something that would even – it works these days for some reason. Is that something that would even interest you, that there would be some sort of social media campaign by the Seahawks PR like the Mariners did?
Well, you know, Dick, and you've teased me about this before, I'm not on Twitter. I'm not on Facebook. I'm the least social media person that you work with down there.
Okay.
And so – but, you know, That'd be nice. I mean, it would be great, but I would hope for anybody that the added punch, I guess, of social media wouldn't be the determining factor on if they voted for you or not.
Sure.
You know, I'm willing to take my lumps and be fair about everything and just see what happens. It'd be nice, and I would hope that the teams I coach would feel that way about the job I did, but it's, you know, I think I'm just going to let the chips fall where they may now.
There you go.
You know, Mike, I was thinking if I was involved in your presentation and what have you, that we talked about the numbers as a head coach, but there's two other very strong facets. One being your quarterback coaching resume, and then a third being your coaching tree resume. And just as a quarterback, I've made the statement. I've thought it through, and to me, I see you as the premier quarterback coach in the history of football. Because and here's the case for that: Joe Montana was a star before you got there, but the truth is that he had his best years, his best Super Bowls, all the numbers were best under your tutelage. Steve Young had quarterback ratings in the 50s and 60s at Tampa Bay. He comes in, he about 6 years under your tutelage, and then he goes on a four consecutive passing league champion. Matt Hasselbeck wasn't even invited to the pro to the combine. Sixth round pick, you identify him, you develop him. He's a three-time Pro Bowler and a Super Bowler. And of course, Brett Favre, who the Falcons wanted to give away for a bag of cleats, you turned him into one of the five greatest quarterbacks of all time. That, and then your coaching, you get Marty Morningweg, Andy Reid, Mike Sherman, John Harbaugh ends up in your, Ray Rhodes, Steve Mariucci, John Gruden, this incredible. I think the only guy that I can think of has a more impressive coaching tree than you is Bill Walsh. And you're, right under his, you're one generation under him.
Yeah.
And so what about, I guess there's got to be a question in there. Do those facets, do you think, matter to the committee? Is that a case that your agent is making? And what's your sense that those aspects can be material in your candidacy?
I'm not sure. I honestly am not sure. All the guys you mentioned, you're right. They were great students. They approached the game like I hope they would, and how I did when I was an assistant coach, I got a nice, after last evening, I got a really nice text from Andy, so, but I don't know. To answer your question, I don't know what goes on in the room, when it actually happens. But like I said, we'll find out in August, and then if I don't make it in, can I still come back and work with you guys in the fall?
Yeah, we'll talk. We'll talk. Our people will talk to your people, Coach.
Good. Right?
Hey, but before we let you go, we're gonna stop buttering you up, and we got to ask you the hard question. What the heck is up with your alma mater leaving for the Big Ten? What did you think about that?
Oh, Dick, I'm sure you guys have banged this around a lot. I felt bad. I really did. And it's just one thing. It shows how old I am, because there's a lot of things happening in college football right now that I don't like and don't approve of, but it's not my call. But I guess it boils down to, it's just strictly about money. It's just strictly about money. Yep. Professional sports, I understood that. I understand the money aspect and the players and everyone getting paid, and the owners are making a lot of money. But college football, for me, as a player and as a coach, I never looked at it that way. And USC, as an example, I think they have plenty of money. I don't think they need a lot of extra money.
Well, but they do compared, but not compared to the teams that they aspire to be like, right? The teams in the SEC and the Big Ten have a lot more money than they do because of the TV deals.
Yeah, I know, and I guess it just piggybacks on the fact that now players can get paid, and schools can attract other players, even high school kids, with money, and so I guess it all falls in line. But eventually, I've said this before the college playoff system, going to a bowl game, I was privileged enough in college to go to the Rose Bowl every year. And then when I was at BYU, we went to the Holiday Bowl, we went to the Citrus Bowl. Those are fun. I mean, those are great. Did it earn you, it didn't, it's different now.
Yep.
And I'm probably not the guy to answer your question too strongly, because I don't like it. I don't like it at all. But it is what it is. I still think, I'll ask you this, I read at least the bits and pieces that Washington still is involved in this. Are they?
Well, I think if you believe reports, they're trying to get in the Big Ten. If you also believe reports, I think most are writing that the Big Ten is at least for the time being, going to pump the brakes on more additions. So I think the status of Washington is in flux. And Mike, I agree with you as a West Coast guy. We both played in this conference. I'm saddened by it because I believe in West Coast football. There for over a century, we've had an alliance. And, you know, USC has been allied with the Oregon schools and the Northwest schools and the Bay Area schools. And, right. and whether it was the Pacific Coast Conference or the Pac-8 or the Pac-12, the word Pac was always in it. It was just short for Pacific Ocean. There's West Coast football, and this is the death of West Coast football. So I'm saddened, but I do feel compelled to push back on you, not because I believe it, but just to hear your response. If somebody, I'm trying to imagine if one of your, you know, fellow alums from SC were to say, look, the Pac-12 is a dying conference. We don't have representation in the college football playoffs. The money we're getting lapped by, in media rights by these other conferences. And we've been subsidizing the likes of Oregon State for decades. We got to start thinking about ourselves, and we've got a lot more opportunity to really play with the big boys by making this move and, you know, joining the ranks of the relevant as opposed to dying with the ranks of the irrelevant. An argument crafted in such a way, you would respond how?
Well, I would say, you know, what you're saying is probably true, but I don't like it. You know, and if the objective of college football is to make money and be able to play Alabama, and if that's the objective, okay. If the objective is to give a guy a scholarship, get him an education, all that kind of stuff, which doesn't, they don't talk about that stuff at all. And, you know, I would enter into the conversation respectfully. But I would vehemently disagree.
Coach, always a pleasure to talk to you. We won't bother you again until you're inducted. And if you're not inducted, like I said, our people will talk to your people about whether you're welcome back on the show in the end.
Yeah, keep my chair, would you please? Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Coach. Enjoy happy hour. Enjoy the cabin, all right?
All right, guys. Thanks.
You bet.
Okay, hi to the family as well. All right.
He's the best. He is the best. We miss talking to him during the summertime, but we look forward to getting him back during football season. All right, we've got Corey Brock coming up. We got more Hugh Breedlove Millen as well in a 5 o'clock hour and a special guest at 6 o'clock all the way from Australia. I don't know if we've ever had a guest come on from further away than Australia, but all-time great Seattle Storm Lauren Jackson, who is back on the Olympic team, or excuse me, the World Championship team at over 40 years of age, is going to join us at 6 o'clock here on 93.3 KJR FM.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Hear us anywhere, anytime on Alexa or Google Play at Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM and on the iHeartRadio app. Now back to Softy and Dick.
Hugh likes to ask me if there's any reaction to the text line. And so let's take a look at some of the reaction on the text line here, Hugh. And this will be fun. We normally don't do two text segments, but here's one from Ben. Dick, you sound off a bit. Are you playing hurt? Well, yeah, I haven't been playing hurt, but I've been playing sick all week down in my basement doing these shows. Hopefully, I don't sound too bad. Anders, my on a scale of one to my normal, you know, strength of voice and how it normally sounds on the air, where am I? Where does it sound?
You got a little bit of a wisp in there, but it's adds some character to you.
So, okay, a little
it's not
depth.
Totally normal, but I think you're still doing good.
Yes, I have not done the massive cough yet on the air, so that's good. That's good. Let's see another one here. Damn it, Blue Jays! Damn Canadians are everywhere. So there's somebody that's floating around the ballpark right now. Let's see here. Oh, this is a good one. Cannot effing stand Dick Fain. He is the poster boy of the douchey Husky fan, often described as punchable by both my Cougar and Husky fans. Oh, good, 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 good. That's great. I love that one because obviously I hit a chord there with a Cougar fan. There's no question about that. I mean, when it comes to my take on Wazoo, I don't know how my opinion on the Washington State situation is even controversial. Like, how is it controversial to say that Washington State cannot pull their weight financially or on the field with a superpower conference? And I'm not talking about the Vanderbilts and the Kentuckys and the Marylands and the Rutgers and the super conferences, because I truly believe you that after it's all said and done, those teams aren't going to be in the super conferences either.
Yeah,
I think we're going to get to a point where the super conferences are truly the top 34, 36, 32, name your number, power schools in America, and everyone else is going to get weeded out.
Yeah.
Yes, in the meantime, Maryland's going to be in there, but not eventually.
Well, I think that we're talking about two different issues. Number one is just the economic viability of Washington State University as an institution of playing athletics, and whether or not they have enough goods to be able to compete with the very, very elite in a restructured format, right? That's one. But I think the texter is talking about, he used the word grace. You know, I think that there's a way to take, and this is I'm admonishing myself as well, or at least cautioning myself, because there's a right way and wrong way to say everything, and there's a way to take something off your fastball. And again, this I'm directing this at me too. Like right now, I think Husky fans are hurting, and I think Cougar fans are hurting.
Yeah.
And I think that if anything, Cougar fans are probably it's probably fair to be even more apprehensive about this change because of where they may be left. Right, like a year ago, and every year for the last century, they've been part of a proud West Coast conference that's the elite in this region of the country, and now they're faced with the specter that a century of tradition in that regard may fall by the wayside. They don't know what the status is, just like Washington doesn't know.
Right.
So I think by acknowledging that over the last 40 years. That Washington State has been in the top 20 on 17 of those 40 years, and of those 17 times, six in the top 10, that with a fair amount of regularity, they are able to stand toe to toe with the top in the top region of college football and be representative, and from time to time be in the running right at the end to be the conference champions. And in fact, they have been the conference champions. So I think that when he used the word grace, that word struck me from the text. Like, hey, can Husky fans have a little bit of grace? Like, if we just want to, like, sticking a rotten pie in somebody's face and say, hey, look, you guys don't have the freaking economic goods to be able to compete in the new world. Well, I'm not even sure if Washington's going to be invited into that world, but I guess it would be just a little bit of sensitivity to how shocked. I mean, I describe it as the three biggest sports stories in my life. Biggest game, United States beating the Soviet Union in a hockey game on the way to the gold medal. Biggest shocking story, O.J. Simpson's a butcher. Mm-hmm. Okay, when you think of his wild popularity, right? Yeah. And then in terms of the earthquake, in terms of the significance, the crumbling of a iconic institution, West Coast football, the conferences, you know, the Rose Bowl, now that's been crumbling for a while. I get that.
Right.
But this is in the top three biggest stories in my life. And I gave it a lot of thought I mean, Muhammad Ali, you know, being pulled out of boxing. I mean, I give this a lot of thought. And you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe somebody will say, you know what? Let me give you two more stories that deserve to nudge that out of place. I don't want to quibble. It, you know, it's right. In the top handful of stories. And so, and it's a bigger story to Washington State, given how they're going to be just kind of floundering. They're going to have to, they're sucking hind tit. They are they're the smallest kid at the boarding house trying to get a piece of the pie.
Yeah,
and we get that, but there's a way we can, I don't know, you know, be sensitive about that.
Are you intimating that the way I said it was not sensitive to Cougar fans?
No, well, I don't feel like I'm
dancing on their grave. My take is simply realism. My take is not, you know, nanny nanny boo boo. I mean, my take is just this is the economics of the game. That's all it is, and I am not. Softy and I have gone back this back and forth. I mean, I am not anti. Softy is way more anti-Cougar than I am. I am not. My wife's a Coug. I watch all the Coug games. I don't root against them. In fact, I root for them way more than I root against them.
Let's suppose you have, and I know you're happily married, but let's say you have a girlfriend, and you've started dating a gal, and she's a Cougar, and she comes from a Cougar family, and you've been invited to dinner, okay? And now you're sitting there, and you got Cougs to the left and Cougs to the right. And you're the clown in the middle, okay? And now this subject comes up. Now you want to be intellectually and I would say morally honest with yourself to be able to give your answer. You're not going to just suppress it. But in that brief instant at that dinner table, you're going to say, "What is the most respectful way that I could say this?" Okay, where you want to make your point. Okay. And you're fair to make your point, but how could you couch? Is there terms that you could couch it where you're saying the same message, but again that word grace that and again I'm not this is not Hugh Millen like patronizing Dick Fame.
Sure,
I'm saying that all of us, you know, the Husky fans and Cougar fans have been hit with a effing sucker punch from the back.
Yeah,
right, by USC and UCLA, and again a portion of me gets it because. Because we live in a free market economy. Mm-hmm. And after 100 years of socialism and subsidizing, SC had enough. They said, I want to act like a free market capitalist. So I kind of get that, but it still feels like a sucker punch. So at that dinner table, is there a way you could express your opinion? What would be the most you know, gentle? I don't want to use
okay.
the wrong
I would,
word.
I would do it this way.
How would you say it?
I would ask a question. If they were complaining about it, I would say, do you see a place where Washington State would be able to financially compete and compete on the field with the top 32, 36 football teams in America, knowing how those football teams, I just let them answer that question because we all know the answer
Brilliant.
To that question.
Brilliant.
Exactly what
and,
I
said. And you know, look,
and that's the conversation down.
Well, yeah. So you're doing like the Socratic method. You let them walk into the answer.
Exactly.
And so that would be the only thing for us, right? Cause we're not here to take shots at,
no. And I don't take it. I honestly don't take any pleasure in what Washington State going through. Cause like I said, I'm not anti-Cougar. I really am not. And I was way more anti-Cougar when I was at the University of Washington than I am now. And I have a Cougar wife and a ton of Cougar friends that she hangs out with. I go to Cougar tailgates on Apple Cup Friday more than I go to Husky tailgates because I'm with her. And her. So, yeah, I mean,
you can't make me up. I may have a teammate listening that's a former teammate, you know, said, what are you talking about, dude? It's the Huskies. Quit being a Nancy boy. You know, let the Cougars have it. Take any shot that is there, man. If the net's open, shoot. You know, I mean, so these are unprecedented times, how to handle it. You know, there's no guidebook, but certainly emotions are raw.
Absolutely. All right. We'll chat more in the 6 o'clock hour. Hugh Breedlove Millen joining us. Corey Brock's going to come up next from The Athletic to talk about those red hot 13-3 over the last 16 Seattle Mariners on 93.3 KJR FM.
Okay. Round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire. Huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hear us anywhere, anytime on Alexa or Google Play at Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM and on the iHeartRadio app. Now back to Softy and Dick.
And rolling through the 5 o'clock hour here on 93.3 KJR FM. Dick Fain with you. Hugh Breedlove-Millen will rejoin us here momentarily, but it's time to talk a little Mariner baseball with our friend Corey Brock, who we didn't get to talk to because of the holiday at the beginning of the week. And wow, how much has changed since the last we talked to Corey Brock about a week and a half ago. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. I was down in San Diego for a couple days, Dick. You know, my old stomping grounds, yes. And somehow I made it back to Washington. So a nice series for the Mariners, a nice run for the Mariners.
You know, mentioning that San Diego trip, I mean, that Logan Gilbert game was one that I just kind of looked at. Going into the game, I was like, okay, we're kind of due, right? The Mariners are due a stinker. Logan Gilbert's due a stinker. And then all of a sudden, second inning, bases loaded, no outs. And I was like, here it comes. And I've been as optimistic a Mariner fan as there's been over the last month. You know that. But still, I was like, okay, the tide's going to turn here, at least momentarily, on Logan Gilbert. And the dude just gets out of it, and the Mariners find a way to put some runs on the board, and they get a win. And that's what I was thinking, wow, okay, this run might be special, is what we're seeing. And that is definitely what we're seeing right now.
And all of it, I would say, at least initially with this good run, and we're going back a few weeks now, obviously, Dick, but, you know, fueled by starting pitching, improved bullpen, and now I think what we're seeing is the offense kind of catching up. And, you know, Ty France came back last night, and I saw a stat where the Mariners were 9-3 without him. I mean, they took 3 of 4 without J.P. Crawford, and Jesse Winker's obviously serving his suspension through Sunday. And they're still playing well. So I think we're discovering a lot of things about the depth of this team and the guys that are on the bench, and also understanding that, you know, before too long here, maybe by the end of the month, you're going to get Mitch Haniger back. You're going to get Kyle Lewis back, that this team could look pretty interesting around the 1st of August.
Haniger is the one that we haven't heard a lot about. We've heard about Lewis. I mean, I saw Lewis down in Tacoma on July 3rd. Sounds like he's going to get some outfield play in Everett. Looks like Luis Torrens is going to Everett. So let's talk timelines here for Lewis, Torrens, and then Mitch Haniger, who we really haven't heard anything about other than he's taken BP.
Yeah, and Lewis and Torrens, I think you're right, Dick. Those guys, you know, based on the fact that they're taking part in or beginning rehabilitation stints in the minor leagues, is really the final step toward coming back. And you want to see how these guys feel coming out of games, getting a chance to play defense, getting at-bats, getting their timing. But really after that, there's nothing that would impede them from coming back to the big leagues. Now, Mitch Haniger is a different cat, certainly, with that, you know, the high ankle sprain, but he's been out testing that. I think there's going to be an opportunity. I don't know when, where he'll be able to get out on a rehab assignment at some point. And he's going to need some time, right? He's been gone for quite a while. So he's going to need to see some live pitching, get his timing back, get comfortable. But I see no reason, you know, as we sit here on the 8th of July, why he can't be back by August 1st.
Okay. So that should be, you know, I know the timeline keeps pushing back. But hey, I mean, they put themselves in a position now where they're going to be in it, barring an absolute collapse this month. They're going to be in it at August 1st. So I guess I'll sign up for that now. And you mentioned the offense. I mean, I saw your tweet yesterday. Cal Raleigh's got more RBIs in baseball from the catcher spot since May the 15th. That is not a short sample size, my friend. That is a good, what, seven and a half weeks of baseball that Cal Raleigh has been producing, as well as any man behind the plate in all of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, it's something. And Dick, you know, he's catching almost every game now with Torrens on the injured list, and they have Andrew Knapp here. But I tell you what, Cal Raleigh's getting a lot of time behind the plate, and rightfully so. I mean, we've talked about this guy as being the catcher of the future. Came up last year, really struggled, got off to a slow start this year. Actually went back to Tacoma, but when Tom Murphy was injured, they needed a catcher, and they brought him back. And slowly but steadily, he's gotten better. Swings a little bit shorter. I think just the experience and kind of going through some ups and downs in the big leagues, knowing what to expect. And so, yeah, I think the bat is starting to play. And then the other component of it is he's a really good defensive catcher, and he has a really good vibe going, for lack of a better term, with the pitchers. I mean, he really cares about the pitchers, spends a lot of time on that and helping these guys. So I think what you're seeing here is the continued development of a young player. And I know we talk about this all the time. We talk about it with Kelnick. We talk about it with Julio. We talk about it with Cal Raleigh. You know, development isn't linear, you know, and for some guys it takes a little longer. For some guys it never happens. But I think we're now seeing what Cal Raleigh can be.
Do you see a guy with Zunino upside or better than Zunino upside?
Yeah, I don't think he's ever really going to hit for high average, but I think probably higher average than Zunino did, probably with a power that is not comparable, but maybe a little less than that. But, you know, very good athlete, runs the bases well, and he's also a switch hitter. So, you know, there's opportunities there for him to where he could play a lot, you know, against lefties or righties. So, you know, and I think, you know, he hit for power in the minor leagues, not a ton of average, but not too bad. So, I think there's no reason why this guy can't hit, I don't know, I'm just going to guess here, you know, 245, 250, you know, with 23 home runs a season moving forward.
I'm going to hold you to those numbers. I'm writing those numbers.
I just made that up totally. I'm sure that's a good guess.
Well, you're right about the defense because, I mean, the pitchers have been fantastic, but Cal's been catching every night, and there's no question that he's got an impact on that defense. And let's talk defense for a second because it is a forgotten term in Major League Baseball. We talk about defense in the NFL all the time. We talk about defense in the NBA, not as much as offense, but still we talk about who the great defensive teams. And it gets lost in baseball. And it just reached out and slapped me yesterday watching that Toronto Blue Jays team just kick the ball all over the field. And then, meanwhile, the Mariners are snagging just about everything other than the one bad throw by Suarez, which he probably should have just eaten. I mean, other than that, the Mariners were fantastic in the field, and they are the number one defending team at a .990 fielding percentage. And that should be – a lot of that credit should be given to Perry Hill, the infield coach, right?
Yeah, absolutely. He's been very good. And we've seen what he's done. You know, he has done, even going back when Evan White won that gold glove, when J.P. Crawford won the gold glove. But, you know, I think he's helped Gino Suarez become not just a league average defender at third, but probably a tick beyond that. I think he's been very good. And that's he's kind of been Perry's latest pupil. But, Yeah, we don't talk about defense enough. It's not sexy. I get it. But, you know, these guys have made the fewest errors in the big leagues. And the name of the game, you know, is about run prevention, right? So if you have a starting rotation that's throwing up a bunch of zeros and working deep into the game, and then you have guys that are picking it cleanly and making the plays, that's going to keep you in a lot of games. And we've seen exactly that's what's been happening with this group.
We've gone, 7 or 8 minutes, and we haven't talked about Julio Rodriguez thus far. I mean, I guess we're just getting to the point. Great stuff, Corey. Enjoy the game tonight. Let's see if George Kirby can put down another six-plus solid innings, and the Mariners can get another win against the Jays. Thanks, man.
All right, thanks, Dick.
You bet. That's Corey Brock. We'll be back with more. Hugh Breedlove Millen. We're here until 7 right here on 93.3 KJRFM.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
From the Star Rental Sports Desk, your 93.3 KJRFM Sports Headlines.
Sports Headlines, 6 o'clock, brought to you by VenueKings.com. Mariners back to .500 for the first time since early May after their 8-3 win last night. George Kirby gets the ball tonight. Mariner prospect Emerson Hancock selected to play in the MLB Futures game at All-Star Weekend. NBA news, Damian Lillard has signed a 2-year max extension, which also includes a player option for 2026 and 2027. And the Seattle Storm blast L.A. last night, 106-69, shooting a team record 65% from the field. And we're going to talk to somebody that knows something a little bit about scoring for the Seattle Storm. Let's do it right now.
Here's Sue with a crossover dribble. Step through, now to Lauren. Three on the way, up and in. And Seattle starting to pull away. 51-32, looking for 20-2 on this season.
Can't believe that highlight I just played is 12 years old. That kind of makes me sad. But what makes me happy is that we're talking to Lauren Jackson for the first time in a long time. And what also makes me happy is she is still playing basketball. Live from Australia, the land of Oz is Laws. How you doing, Lauren?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. It is so great to hear your voice, and I have just been so excited to kind of follow what you have been doing, but we have got to catch the rest of Seattle up with what you've been doing. And the two-time WNBA champion, the three-time WNBA MVP, and let's start with your Hall of Fame inductions. Inductions plural, Women's Hall of Fame and the Naismith Hall of Fame. We haven't gotten a chance to talk to you after you were honored like that. What did that mean to you?
Oh, gosh. Look, it was so special. I mean, it would have been fantastic to be over there and celebrate it. But, yeah, I mean, retrospectively, looking back at my career, it meant so much, you know, especially for, you know, what I was able to achieve in Seattle and in America. So it's a very special time.
No question about it. And now here you are, 25 years after making your first national team. You are back on the Australian national team. Tell us about... Well, let's start at the end and then work our way backwards. Talk to me about what it was like to find out from your good friend Sandy Brondello, the coach, that you were going to be on this national team again at past the tender age of 40.
Oh, look, I'm actually only on the squad. I'm not on the team yet. But, you know, to be back in the squad, it was super special. I've come out of retirement and I was playing for Albury, my home team here, just in the NBL One, and, you know, just enjoying it, having some fun with it, and never expected it to go this far, never anticipated it would be much more than a few games for Albury, but I'm still going, and, yeah, the body's holding out.
So just talk about the comeback then, because, you know, talk about how long you were out of the game. Obviously, you had a spectacular career here in Seattle with the Storm. It wasn't quite as long as I know you wanted it to be, simply because your body wasn't allowing that to happen. So maybe talk about how long that recovery was and how long you were away from the game.
Look, I actually injured my knee in 2013. I think I was playing in China. I'd missed the 2013 season in the WNBA because I'd actually just had surgery and then I fell pregnant and then I had a miscarriage. So I actually missed the WNBA season then. And then I was going back to the WNBA, but I injured my knee in 2013 and that was pretty much the end of my career at that point. I ended up having a knee replacement on my knee. And after that, it was just two kids, work, life, becoming just a normal person. And, you know, I thought, you know, the kids are old enough for me to sort of start training and it'd be great for them to be around a team environment, I thought. And I lost a lot of weight and I thought, okay, I'll give it a crack. And here I am.
what was harder? Was it harder to physically come back, or was it harder to kind of turn the competitive side back in you? Because, I mean, you were one of the great competitors I've ever seen in sports. I mean, let alone the WNBA. I mean, when you got the Lauren Jackson eyes out there on that court, I mean, there was nothing like that. So was that hard to get back, that kind of competitive fire mentally, or was it harder to get the physical part back?
Look, physically, I had to do a lot of work in the gym before I could even get foot on the basketball court. So I reckon I spent about 10 weeks just solid lifting weights and trying to get my leg as strong as possible so that, you know, I could jump and I could run again. So physically, you know, I had to put in a lot of work. But when it came time to get back out on the court and I've had to jump through a few hurdles, I think emotionally, I did have a bit of PTSD from the way that my career ended and the injuries that I had. So having to jump through those hurdles, but, you know, the minute I stepped foot back out on the court and I was playing in that environment again, you don't lose that competitiveness, and I still have that. And I think my coaches and, well, everybody has seen it. That just doesn't go. It just sort of clicks back in pretty easily. But it was the other stuff, you know, just getting through injuries and things like that.
I thought it was interesting. I was reading a piece a couple of days ago on you, and you were talking about how much medical cannabis has helped you out. Maybe talk a little bit more about that.
Look, thanks to Sue, actually. I saw that Sue was sort of using some CBD products, CBD oil and things like that, and I spoke to her probably going on 2 years ago now. I just sort of said, what is it? You know, does it really help? Because I didn't want to go through that sort of ritual of prescription medication and painkillers and things again. And that was sort of if that was going to happen, I wouldn't have ever set foot back on court again, especially with kids and things. There's no way I wanted to sort of go back to that. And she said, it had been great for anti-inflammatory purposes. And so I tried it here. I went on a trial here in Australia, and I actually got consistency up my training, which meant that I could keep going back to the gym and I could really, you know, make some progress in the gym on my strength and also losing weight, things like that, without, you know, having to take time off or having to go on other medication. So it was actually really helpful, particularly in the beginning as I started sort of moving and running again, just really stopped me from flaring up. Swelling-wise, things like that.
Lauren Jackson, one of the most decorated players in Seattle sports history, one of the most decorated players in women's basketball history, joining us here, the two-time WNBA champ, three-time WNBA MVP. You know, the World Cup is coming up. I see where it's in your home in Sydney, coming up later on this year. So what is the next step in your process to make sure that you are ready to go and playing on that team?
Oh, look, I think, you know, for me, it's probably, there's a lot of factors. We've got a camp in New York in a couple of weeks, which, you know, I didn't think I'd be coming back to America this soon. But, I've got to get through that. And then if I get selected from that, then it's just keeping the body right and making sure I get back out on court. Because that's, you know, there's a lot of talented athletes with the Australian team. And I'm 41 years old, so, you know, it's a big ask.
Well, you've got a friend that's basically the same age as you, and she's still doing a pretty darn good job in the WNBA, isn't she? Tell me how often you get to see Sue on television, and how often you can talk to her.
Oh, look, I talk to Sue quite regularly. Still, you know, online and stuff like that, so that's great. I watch her as much as I can when Seattle playing, and obviously I love watching Stewie and Jewel, and then the two Aussies, Izzy and Steph. So I try to watch Seattle as much as I can. I'm a very big supporter of Storm, and I always will be, I anticipate. Sue's just been incredible, and I think for me, definitely been an inspiration over the years, and it's just been awesome to watch her grow and the way that she's, you know, really sort of flourished off the court as well. She's just been incredible. So it's been amazing.
And it's just been fascinating to watch her career, where the first half of her career she had you as a part of the dynamic duo, and then the second half of her career she's had a player in Breanna Stewart as a part of a dynamic duo, and obviously a trio with Jewel Loyd. Do you see any of yourself in Breanna Stewart? What's your take on her game?
Oh, she's incredible. You know, what a player. She's so much fun to watch. I think I'm probably a lot bigger than her, like physically, but I think just in the way that she moves, and she's the best player in the world at the moment, and it's such a privilege to be able to watch her play with Sue, you know, because I think Sue makes everyone around her better. So, you know, of course she's getting the best out of Stewie and both Jewel and everyone she plays with.
And we're pretty darn close to a big four now in Seattle with Ezzy Magbegor.
Yeah.
How long have you known Ezzy? Obviously coming from Australia, and certainly the years, you have a lot of years apart between you guys, almost 20 years apart. But how much time have you spent with her potentially as a mentor?
Oh, look, I think I've watched Ezzy sort of grow and develop over the years. I've spent a little bit of time with her when she was with Melbourne and I was there a few years ago, but, you know, not really. But, I mean, I definitely reach out to her and talk to her as much as I can. But she's, you know, the way that she's developed as well, and I think that's been a big part to playing with Stewie, you know, seeing the way that Stewie moves, and Evie's got that athleticism that was just, you know, she's so quick and she's so agile. It's been awesome to watch her develop, and truly, the work that she's doing over in Seattle, it's making her into a competitor that, you know, we all know is there, but it's really taken Seattle to bring it out there.
Lauren Jackson joining us. What do you remember the most? Like, what are the memories of being a Seattle Storm player that just, they just stick with you year after year after year?
There are a lot, you know. I think, you know, there's obviously different coaches over there and sort of different phases of the Storm, but I think, you know, there's obviously the championship years were so special for me and for Sue probably, so... That, but I think, you know, when Forster Dan Hoops came on and took over from Howard Schultz, I think that was a real defining moment for the Storm and keeping the Storm in Seattle. That was just such an incredible time. And then to see what they've done with the team over the years, they've just become probably the most, you know, the most important franchise in the WNBA, I think, just in terms of what they've been able to create and the way that they've modeled the franchise, I think it's incredible. So, I mean, there's been a lot. There was a lot of great things that happened when I was over there, but I think, you know, looking back over the years, I think the last 10 years have just been so remarkable for the league and for the Storm as well. So, I was very lucky to be there when I was, for sure.
Final couple of minutes with Lauren Jackson here, the WNBA great, Seattle Storm legend. Her number is up there at Climate Pledge Arena as it was raised a few years ago at Key Arena, and hopefully Lauren's going to get a chance to come see Climate Pledge Arena here pretty soon. And what a glorious place it is with your number up there. But Lauren, the Storm made another big move for the playoff push over the last week, kind of blowing away the WNBA and picking up Tina Charles. You know, you played, your careers crossed for a couple of years there at the very beginning of her career. What made Tina Charles so difficult to play against?
I think she's super strong. You know, she's sort of the epitome of the inside player, and you know, the way that she can sort of get the ball inside the paint, but she's also got a three on her. You know, she's smart, she's been around for a long time, and she wants a championship. It's clear that, you know, she'll do anything to win that championship, and of course, with Seattle and then with Tina coming on board, you've got to think that they are front runners right now. So it's pretty exciting to watch.
I got to ask you before I let you go, would you ever consider a return to the league?
I'm literally 41 years old.
That's all right. Like I said, so Sue.
Yeah, but I have two children. You know, my eldest one's in school now, and there's a lot more, you know, there's in my life. It's not as simple as that anymore, but I would love to be there. And look, I'm hoping to get to the game on the 3rd of August in Seattle, which would be incredible. I just can't wait to get back there and see everybody and, you know, cheer Sue on. And, you know, I don't know how important she is to us here in Australia.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on, and that's great news. That's the best news I've heard all day, that I'm going to get a chance to see you here in less than a month, so I can't wait to do that. We'll talk to you soon then, Lauren, all right?
All right, sounds great. Good on you.
You bet. Lauren Jackson, just absolutely the best. I think the league is in such a different place now than when she played. The level of fandom for the Seattle Storm is so much different now than it was when she played. It was very much still a niche sport, even here in Seattle, and particularly around the country back then, 10 years ago. I just remember the difference between when the Storm won in 2010 and then winning the two in the Breanna Stewart, Jewel Lloyd, Sue Bird era. The difference in the city. I mean, Storm fans were always there, but the city has really now embraced this team over the last, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years. And, you know, I really wish, you know, Lauren saw it, no question. I mean, she saw full Key Arenas. I mean, it's not like nobody came and watched her play. I'm just saying there's a broader appreciation for women's basketball. There is a broader appreciation for the Seattle Storm now than there was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, without question. And we're seeing that now at Climate Pledge Arena with these attendances. I mean, they're just every single night. They're in the 9 to 11, 12,000 range. And it's just absolutely fantastic. And she was one of the ones, you know, she was the one along with Sue. I mean, not just one of the ones. She and Sue are who put this franchise on the map. Period. End of story. Now, they had a lot of other great players that fit in very, very well. But Sue Bird and Lauren Jackson were the two that put this franchise on the map, that won the first two championships for this franchise, and Lauren is the first one up there in the rafters at Climate Pledge Arena. So it is really, really cool to talk to her, and I can't wait to see her coming up next month. That's very, very cool that she'll be coming. I did not know that she's going to be coming to Seattle to kind of give Sue a nice send-off, so I'm sure they will recognize her at the building. All right, 6:17, more from Hugh Millen coming up a little bit later on. We've got a big Mariner game coming up. I think this is an Apple. Anders, is this the Apple TV game tonight?
I think it is, yeah, the Friday one.
The Apple TV game tonight, so we're going to have to get the old Roku warmed up and get and watch the game on Apple TV. But the Mariners back to 500 for the first time since early May after their win yesterday. And, you know, I had a very achievable set of goals. I did the show a week ago today, and kind of before the holiday weekend, I kind of set out a parameter of goals. And now keep in mind, these goals were set before the Mariners went 5-1 since I did that show. All right. And the goals back then were, there was 15 games until the All-Star break, and I just said, hey, can you get me 9-6? That seemed like a fairly achievable goal, right? Give me 9-6 in the 15 games until the All-Star break. That would put you at one game under 500 if you go 9-6 at that point. Well, you've already gone 5-1. So now to get to that 9-6 mark, you only got to go 4-5. So that seems very, very achievable. And then the longer-term goal was 15-13 from that point until August 10th. That puts you at 52-54. And the reason I picked that particular date is because that's the date when you start to close the season with the easiest schedule in Major League Baseball over the final 46 games against only 12 teams with winning records, or 12 games rather, with winning records, while you're playing Oakland, Texas, Kansas City down the stretch. The Red Sox, Rays, and Blue Jays are playing, guess what? The Red Sox, Rays, and Blue Jays, and Yankees. That's who the Red Sox, Rays, Blue Jays play down the stretch. They play the Red Sox, Rays, the Blue Jays, and the Yankees. Meanwhile, you play Oakland, Texas, and Kansas City. So what you're doing now is you're exceeding what my expectation was at this point to put you in a really, really good opportunity to be a legitimate contender. And maybe one of the favorites. Right now, you're the third bet in the wild card race as far as run differential. You're third right now. You're third in run differential. We'll see if that continues as the Mariners throw George Kirby on the mound in less than an hour. Back right after this on 93.3 KJR-FM.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.